I want to tell you a secret that will see you through all the trials that life can offer. Have courage and be kind.
She'll merely be your stepmother, and you'll have two lovely sisters to keep you company. So I'll know, as far away as I may be, that you'll be safe.
Wouldn't you prefer to eat when all the work is done, Ella?
Yes, stepmother.
Oh, you needn't call me that. Madam will do.
Cinder wench.
Dirty Ella.
Cinderella.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Are you all right? Miss, what did he call you?
Never mind what they call me.
I'm sorry.
It's not your doing.
Nor yours either, I'll bet. I hope to see you again, miss.
And I you.
You have more kindness in your little finger than most people possess in their whole body.
It was my mother's old dress.
It would be an insult to take you to the palace dressed in these old rags. You shall not go to the ball.
Excuse me. Why are you crying?
Who are you?
That's better.
My fairy godmother.
Now, where are those mice? And you find that really comfortable. Now off you go.
For you shall go to the ball.
They're all looking at you.
Believe me, they're all looking at you.
Where there is kindness, there is goodness. And where there is goodness, there is magic.
I have to see her again.
Are you looking for this?
Morning. I'm Jeff, one of the pastors here. It's been said that story is the language of the heart. And some stories carry on through time. Cinderella, the story mostly as we know it, was written by a French author about, was written by a French author about 500 years ago. So that story has endured time, right? Some stories don't last quite as long. But what I wanted to discuss this morning with you guys is what makes a story last so long. We have stories that have stood the test of time. We even have some relatively more recent classics of the last 100 years that we hold dear, that movies recreate over and over again, and we go and see them. What are some elements that make a story timeless, that make it connect with a heart, that you see as kind of common themes that are in a lot of these kind of fairy tale stories? Anybody identify something that seems to be a common theme? Yeah.
Good versus evil.
Yeah. It's not a good story if there isn't some kind of tension, right? Or conflict between good and evil. Anything else stand out?
The main character has to go on a quest in which they have to die to themselves and be renewed into something new and greater than they thought.
Excellent. Yes. The main character, so you said the main character has to go on some kind of journey in which they're going to have to die to themselves, and they're going to have to step into some role that's bigger than them, and maybe bigger than they thought they were, even, or more significant. That hits one of the two main kind of themes that I see in a lot of fairy tales. First one is a restoration of role. So you'll see in a lot of stories, there'll be somebody who really is royalty, right? Or they really have some significant role in life, but somehow they find themselves in this place where they're not recognized for who they really are, okay? So you have, like, Rapunzel would be a example of that. If you've seen the more recent movie Tangled, the animated film, right? She was the daughter, she was a princess. She was the daughter of the king and queen, but she was captured in this tower and not living out who she was, and it's the story of her trying to discover that again, not even really knowing, but there's something in her heart. Sleeping Beauty kind of fits that. Even in the Lord of the Rings trilogy by Tolkien, Aragorn, right? He has this greater identity. He's living as a ranger, kind of roaming around, living in the shadows. But Gandalf sees in him that he is a king at heart. Another theme that we see in a lot of these stories is somebody not expected, kind of a little bit like what Tim was sharing, but not expected to do great things. I think of the brave little tailor, right? And I always think of the Disney Mickey Mouse version of that, you know, where he's swatting flies and he gets called up to go defeat this giant. And there's those types of stories. I think Cinderella fits that, the story of Cinderella. And we're going to follow Cinderella's story a little bit over the next couple of weeks. Looking at Lord of the Rings again, Bilbo and Frodo would fit that description as well. Not really expected to do much in life, not save the world, and yet they play these significant roles. They're called up into that. Something about that element captures us. Those are the things we love about the stories, and there's a reason why we love that. It's because they speak to the story that we're living in our lives, and they speak actually to some truth about ourselves. And so this morning, as we move through our series on identity, we're going to be talking about unique identity, and we're talking about our culture points and our values. Jesus said that his mission was, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Okay? Life or abundance, as some versions translate that word. So that's Jesus' goal for us, and we talk about, and what we're talking about is kind of the culture at Adventure and how we relate to this. This is one of the key verses for our community, for our church that we stand on. We believe that life to the full, a life of abundance is available to us. And what that means is not just a life of riches and your car never breaking down and everything going smoothly. But what we believe is it's a life of living in the truth. Jesus said also in just a couple chapters before this, he said to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And he speaks into identity even in this context. Who you belong to is significant and matters. And whether you stand in the truth is linked with whether you will walk in freedom. And that freedom, that abundance, that fullness of life is what we believe is available. So as we continue in our series, the last 2 weeks we covered our first culture value here at Adventure Church, which is walking with God, an intimate conversational relationship with God where we can hear his voice and we can speak to him and we can walk with him through our whole week, not just on a Sunday morning and not just in a quiet time, but throughout the day. In order to do that at the deepest level, this next culture point that we're covering this morning, which is unique identity, is going to be critical. Because if you don't understand at a depth who you are as you walk with God, you're not going to be able to really be close or feel close to him at the level that's available. That's why the truth sets you free. And we're going to take just a look at some of the truth of who you are this morning. One of the reasons why this is so significant right now in our era is there's an identity crisis in our culture, isn't there? I mean, the big issue now is every person has the right to decide who they are, whether they're a man or a woman, whether they're a horse or a cow. I'm not joking. That's actually in the works for people to be able to decide if they're an animal and have the rights that they should have as an animal. I don't mean they have the right to live in a barn. I don't know what that means. But that's how ridiculous it's gotten. That's how sad it's gotten. Because the last person to tell you who you are is you. It doesn't work. The one to tell you who you are is the one who made you. And that's the source that we have to go to. And for centuries, since the history of man, we've been looking to other sources. We've been looking to the world. We've been hearing the voice of the enemy telling us who we are. We've been telling ourselves who we are, and we see that playing out, like I said, in our culture. But what we need to do is go to God's word and really embrace who we are. And I want to suggest that there isn't a person in this room who doesn't have more ground to gain in truly understanding and living in who they are. Some of us may be further along in that journey than others, but there's still more of that to understand and to live out of, because we fall away from it at times. We forget. And so we want to be reminded this morning of that. I want to cover three kind of pillars of our identity that are super critical. This isn't exhaustive, but these are three of the main pillars that we stand on as far as our identity as we have relationship with God. The first one is that we are image bearers. In the story of Cinderella, the story begins with a little girl who is free. She's living in truth of who she is, how she's designed, what she offers to this world, and she's living out of that freedom, and it's beautiful.
Once upon a time, there was a girl called Ella. And she saw the world not always as it was, but as perhaps it could be, with just a little bit of magic.
My darling!
To her mother and father, she was a princess. True, she had no title, nor crown, nor castle. But she was the ruler of her own little kingdom, whose borders were the house and meadow on the forest's edge where her people had lived for generations. With Mr. Goose and all their animal family.
Hello there. What do you think you're doing? Let the little ones have their share. We don't want you getting an upset stomach.
Okay, so Ella starts her life in this kingdom that she was made to rule over. And she's walking in that identity. There hasn't been any other messages sent to her at that point. And she's free to just live out of that identity. We're familiar with Genesis 1 when God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." Kind of like little Ella. When we say image or likeness, sometimes we might get stuck on, oh, that means, is that just like our form? But God does not have form. And when he says in our image and likeness, he's speaking to the attributes of God. Now we're a reflection or an image of that. And through sin, we may have fallen away in some ways from really reflecting that if we have not been restored through Christ. But when we say image, we're talking about the fact that we've been given life. That reflects God, who is life. That we have personality. That we have this thing called love that we want and that we want to give. That's part of who God is. Wisdom that we have. Holiness. There's a way that we can reflect holiness. Justice, you know, is a value that we have. There's all these different attributes or likenesses of God that at our core design, going back to the beginning, was built into us. It's part of our blueprint. And these things were made to be displayed and to reflect and to show what God is like through us. David said, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. So he embraced that. We're wonderfully made. None of this down talk about how loathsome man is. We're wonderfully made because we have a wonderful creator. And the blueprint he used was himself when he made us and designed us and purposed us to rule over this earth. It's actually a really, really good thing. Now, we may look at it at this point and say, yeah, but what about sin? And look, just watch the news, Jeff. And this is all great, and it looks good in a fairy tale, but man is really dark and evil. Well, what's happened, of course, is the enemy has come in, and his main goal is to pull us out of truth into lies. I mean, he's identified as the father of lies, and everything he speaks is a lie. So if there's anything of who we are that we've gotten from him, it's not true. Because he speaks lies to pull us away from being that reflection and that design. But we can't throw that out and say, well, man is ruined now. We're of a bad design because of sin. No, there's a story that's unfolding and we'll continue to look at where God's coming in and intervening again later in the story and saying, no, I made you to reflect me, and I'm going to make a way to cut off that sin and allow you to be image bearers again, true image bearers of my character and my likeness. So the first pillar that we look at briefly this morning is being image bearers. The second one we'll go a little deeper into is being a child of God. And we have to be able to grasp, understand, receive even the concept that we are beloved children of God. Going back to our story that we're following with young Ella, she lived in that kingdom and kind of brought that image-bearing quality that she did in the context of a family and in the context of understanding at a deep level that she is loved.
Ella! Where are my girls? My beautiful girls! Where are my darlings?
Ella missed him terribly when he was away, but she knew he would always return.
Papa, welcome home!
He's grown!
There you go, sir.
What was that?
This. I found it hanging on a tree. I think there may be something inside. In French, that is un papillon.
Un papillon.
Très bien.
Voulez-vous danser avec moi, mademoiselle?
S'il vous plaît.
Merci beaucoup.
Ouch. Ouch. You're standing on my feet.
Shall we?
Look, Mario, dancing.
All was just as it should be. They knew themselves to be the most happy of families to live as they did and to love each other so.
When I am king, dilly dilly, you shall be queen. Lavender's green, dilly dilly, lavender's blue. You must love me, dilly dilly, for I love you.
And that's why we love fairy tales, because they reflect something of what our hearts really desire in truth. When it comes to being a daughter or a son, let's read here in Romans. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. And it's hugely significant that we are sons of God. And I want to speak to the ladies here this morning and say it's intentional, and you'll hear me use the word sonship, and I'm talking about you too. And you'll notice that Paul doesn't distinguish a difference when he speaks to the church about sonship, because it's about your position in the family, and it's about your inheritance. And so you are sons, and you're going to have to wrestle with getting around that, just like men have to wrestle with getting around being called the bride of Christ, right? It's significant and it's wonderful, and our gender kind of gets in the way of seeing that. Now, uniquely, I think that we reflect God in wonderful ways as man and woman, and there was a design in how he did that and the complement that that has. So it doesn't take away from that difference in us as man and woman and the roles that we play. However, when it comes to your position in the family of God, you are a son as it relates to your inheritance. That's significant here. Another significant thing, which we'll hit with another verse a little bit deeper in a moment, is it says, you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. So there's something about being a child of God that breaks down that slavery to fear. And we'll learn breaks down that slavery to worry as well here in a minute. Peter references being born again. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring word of God. So there's a rebirth that has to take place. This is where, it was John chapter 3, where Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. And he just blows Nicodemus's mind with this idea of being born again. And he's like, what do you mean? I got to crawl back into my mom and be born? You know, just, he's like, can't comprehend this. But there's a significance in that, because Jesus says to him, flesh gives birth to flesh, and spirit gives birth to spirit. So you are actually a new person, new spiritual being when you come to Christ and the Holy Spirit comes to indwell you. You're made new. And that has a huge amount of significance in your identity and who you are. See, we oftentimes, if you look at it as a scale of how you see yourself, you put a lot of significance and importance on your flesh as far as your what family you were born into, what your experiences have been in the flesh, who your mom and dad are, who your extended family are. There's a lot of significance we put on that. There is a significance to that, but the scale should totally be turned the other way as far as how we see ourselves and our identity and how we live out of that, actually live out of that in our lives, to see that, wait, who have we been born of in the Spirit? We've been born of the Holy Spirit if we have received Christ and received the Spirit. So I think Jesus speaks to this. Actually, before we look at this next verse, I want to ask you a question as a little bit of an exercise. Kind of just take 30 seconds and just think of maybe one thing, if you have something, that you're worrying about right now. Just be honest, okay? You know the right answer is, I'm not worried about anything because I'm a child of God. Okay, yeah, okay, get it, A plus. Now, truthfully, is there something you're worrying about right now? I've got something in mind for myself, so just take a second. Okay, I know you don't need that much time to think of one thing that you're worried about. Might even be where you're going to eat lunch afterwards. Okay, so now let's look at this really significant teaching. This is from the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus speaking. He says, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows what you need, knows that you need them. Sorry. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. When I read that verse, what stood out to me is it was like Jesus was saying, stop living like orphans. Stop living like orphans. He's saying to these people, let me explain to you how good the Father is, because in the context of this, he was going through how the lilies are clothed, greater than the splendor of Solomon, and how he feeds the birds and they don't even have to gather. They just go out and get their daily bread. He's saying, you're so much more significant than they are. God is so good. He's taking care of all these created things that he's made, and you're made in his image. Stop living like an orphan, like you don't have a good dad. Every time you worry, you're living like an orphan. Okay? It's not a guilt thing. So if you step into worry, you immediately bring it to God and say, wait a minute, remind myself, who are you? What kind of dad are you? Why am I living like this? Have you ever known somebody who maybe lives like that? Maybe, you know, sometimes there's this phenomenon even with somebody who's adopted. Because of the fear, because of the things that they've experienced early in their life, and the traumas they've experienced with relationship, and the losses, and the abandonment, that once they're provided with a loving, caring family given by God, they continue to live as though they're an orphan. And everything that they need for life, they will supply themselves. They will go out and do it. They will find it when there's this offer of this family for them to just rest in and stop worrying. And that's what Jesus is saying to the people of God. We do that. And we're capable of doing that. So before we move forward, let's take that exercise to the next place and now take that thing that you have, and I'll just kind of lead us in a prayer, but just give that to God. Let's recognize who he is as a father and give that to him as a little exercise that really we can do anytime. So Lord, thank you that you are such a good father who cares for every need that we have, including the one that I'm thinking of right now. So I choose to stop living like an orphan with this worry. And I lay it at your feet. I say thank you for being a good father. Thank you that you know the answer to this need or to this problem. And you're going to supply everything that I need, so I trust that. And I just let go of this worry in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so we've talked a little bit about being a child of God. I'm hitting these at, you know, like 10,000 feet, right? This is a value that we have at Adventure, and walking in a community with the body of Christ is how we're going to go deeper into that, and I'll share more about what's coming next week. But the last element, the last pillar that I want to look at as far as it relates to identity is being a member of the body of Christ. And this really brings a lot of the power to the unique part of our culture value, unique identity. In Ella's story, there's a scene where she is just about to start facing the real tough trials of life. And her mom recognizes that. She knows that there's a big hit coming. And she calls Ella in, and she speaks truth to Ella that's unique to her, that speaks to her strength and gifting. And what's powerful about it is that she says, these things are what you will need to get through those trials.
Ella, my darling,
I want to tell you a secret. A great secret that will see you through all the trials that life can offer. You must always remember this. Have courage. You have more kindness in your little finger than most people possess in their whole body. And it has power. More than you know. And magic.
Magic.
Truly. Have courage and be kind, my darling. Will you promise me?
I promise.
So, as some of you know, as that story unfolds, it's kindness and courage that Cinderella leans on through the toughest times in her life. So this idea of Jesus saying, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full, and the fulfillment, the fullest fulfillment of that is eternity with God. However, there is a freedom, of walking in the truth now in the midst of trial because of who he's made us to be and leaning on those things. As it relates to the body of Christ, there are specific things that we've been given, gifts that we've been given by the Spirit that speak to that part of us that loves these fairy tales. Because we love the main character who has this significant role, and if they don't come through, everything's going to fall apart. And they do come through. And they do have everything that it takes to see somebody through to being rescued or the kingdom being saved or whatever the tension is, the enemy being overcome. And that's because there is this purpose. And at Adventure Church, we believe Scripture is telling us that there is a unique identity that God's spoken into each one of us in the body of Christ. And if we don't show up, the body goes without a hand or without a foot. It doesn't just get covered by somebody else. The world misses out on something if you don't step into who you are. That's the significance of our place. And we believe that so much so that we've fashioned a culture of helping, encouraging, speaking this truth into one another, and being willing to take a journey to rediscover that. Paul teaches us about this kind of concept of the body. He says, I just took an excerpt from this. It's read chapter 12 to get the full picture. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you, and the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable, and the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. Okay, he's kind of saying, okay, I'm using the analogy of the body, but don't get distracted. Let me explain how it really is here. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. So if you're not living with a deep sense that you are a critical part of the body of Christ, you are not living in the truth right now. You're not accepting the truth about who you are. And there is a journey to kind of step back into that and find that place and bring who you are. But you have to face the reality first. If that's not where you're at, then you're not aligned with the truth of Scripture about who you are. One of the incredible things about this that maybe even speaks into, you know, magic is kind of this element in a lot of the fairy tales. And we may say in the church, oh, magic, that's like evil from, you know, Satan and that. Okay, but the part of the magic that appeals to us is because as we step into being a member of the body of Christ, it's not just in our own efforts that we play that significant role. We're actually empowered by the Spirit with supernatural gifts. And there's multiple places where we can read these lists of gifts. I don't believe they're exhaustive. I believe there's gifts that aren't listed. I don't think we can limit the Holy Spirit to the lists that are given in Scripture. Now, we have to be careful because we can go rogue with that and say, well, they're not all listed, so I think this weird manifestation, you know, is from God, and we have to walk with God. But what I'm saying is there's supernatural strengths and giftings, and many of them we can see in Scripture that help us to step into that role and to be that hero because of the power of God and because of the identity we have in Christ in the story that God has written us into. So this morning is kind of an overview. I think the point of saying this is a culture point that we have, a culture value at Adventure Church, one of the seven that we're going to be covering over the next several weeks, is because we believe that there has to be a journey from head knowledge of this, because I probably didn't put any scriptures up there that you weren't very familiar with this morning. But somehow, if we are not feeling like we're fully living in, walking in that true identity, born of the Spirit, a critical member of the body of Christ, a beloved son or daughter, of God, then there's some kind of gap between the truth in our head and living it out of our heart. And at Adventure Church, and somebody said here, I think it was Steve maybe, that there's always a bad guy or a villain in a story. And next week, what we're going to explore is Cinderella's story. We've kind of set the stage, but the reason a villain in a fairy tale is something that we always expect or look for or makes the story better is because it also reflects the truth of our story. That there is a villain, that there is an enemy, and there's our own thoughts that play into that as well. You know, my kids, my boys, when they're really little, when we try to pick a movie to watch, they're always like, they always wanted to know, does it have a bad guy? Because if it didn't have a bad guy, and it's not because they like evil, it's not because they like the bad guy, but they get a set of bad guy in there so he can be overcome and defeated, and the story can make sense to their hearts. And it's the same for adults. So next week, I want to cover the enemy and how he comes into the story. He comes into Cinderella's story and how he comes into our story. But also what the journey of restoration from that looks like, to take that journey of restoration. And what that looks like specifically at Adventure Church. How we walk through that journey. Some people have taken that journey. I want to suggest, as I did earlier, there's still more to gain back. I know that there's still more of who God made me to be that I'm not living out of. Maybe there's still some lies that I'm believing. And that journey of restoration is not because God isn't capable of restoration in an instant. The journey is necessary because we need it, not because God needs it. Our hearts have been through some stuff. And God, being the gentleman, being the caring, loving Father that he is, knows that our heart needs to take a journey to even be able to swallow how he sees us and who he's made us to be. And so we'll talk about how to step into that journey next week. A few resources as we kind of wrap up here. We have the daily devotional that we've created that goes with this message, with this culture point of unique ID, so you can dig deeper into scripture and kind of that foundation of who am I and what does God say in his word about who I am. And then next week's we'll also follow that same journey of what does that look like to start gaining that back and to step into a journey in this community in doing that. There's also back on the back, really suggest you grab one of these. It's kind of bookmark size. It's got a ton of verses on it. It's got like the verse address and then a little kind of synopsis of the verse so you can look it up. But it's all of verses on your identity in Christ. Truths. Really good to just, if you're feeling down in it, if you're worrying about anything, just sit down with this. If you're wondering, where do I go in Scripture? What do I, just sit down and go through these verses about your identity in Christ. So grab one of those. And then there's also the verse for the next 2 weeks for this culture point is 1 Peter 2:9-10. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Wonderful verse on your identity. There's these cards back there. Grab that and just soak in this verse for the next couple of weeks. We're going to have worship team, if you want to head on up. We're going to have a closing song as they're coming up. There's prayer available up front. If you came in this morning and you want prayer for something, please come forward and we'd love to pray for you. Fellowship is available across the way in the other building here. There's donuts, coffee, some snacks over there. If you want to hang out for fellowship, and there'll be people coming to the second service that you can meet. Also want to highlight this morning the care offering that we have. So we take our regular offerings, which we pass the baskets back, and that covers the general fund that we need for just functioning as a church. But there's a box on the back table, a marked care offering. And what we do is, that's a pool of money that we want as a fellowship to just have available and ready when somebody's in need. Somebody in our church family, sometimes it's somebody in the community, but we're able to just move quickly to meet a need and show that, you know what, God's generous. And he's interested not only in speaking to your heart and restoring you, but he's also interested in meeting your physical needs, like the verse in Matthew 6. So right now, I think the current balance is in your bulletin of where we're at with that. Our target goal is to have $1,500 in there. Not always sitting there, because if we have the funds, we want to use the funds. And so we're down right now because we just used funds to help several different people with some really urgent needs that they've had. Family in the church had an urgent need just recently that we were able to just bless them with. So just pray about that. Consider that if you'd like to contribute to that in the back.
This song is all about being a child of God. It speaks right to the truth of our identity. So let's just declare this together.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies till all my fears are gone.
Sing it out.
I'm no longer a slave to fear, and I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear, and I am a child of God. From my mother's womb, you have chosen me, and love has called my name. I've been born again into a family. Your blood flows through my veins. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Oh, I am a child of God. I'm no
Amen. Have a great Sunday. We'll see you guys next week. You are dismissed.